There was nobody to play chess with, nobody, or checkers, nobody to catch that football. You know what? We have people here that like to play football, basketball, that like to do crafts, that like to do crocheting, that like to go hiking. We have all these people in good groups doing life together. Last year, my oldest daughter, Summer, she says, "Mom, have you heard about blue zones?" I depend on my daughter to keep me up to date on what's going on. How many people have heard about blue zones? All right, some people are in the know. These are very interesting. So we spent the evening watching the entire documentary. It was like 5 episodes. And I was captivated. Like, this is so cool. I'm so glad I know this. Now I have to do something about it. So what are these? These are communities that have extraordinary longevity and quality of life. Now, one common characteristic in these 5 communities was their diet is 95% plant-based. Okay, maybe we're not too excited about that, but hey, it's healthy. It's healthy, right? Meat and chicken are not the main course. All right, they lead active lives. They don't have exercise programs because they are so active in their community. They are serving and impacting their community, and they are making a difference. And you know what that brings to them? It brings purpose. Purpose in life. In these communities, they are found to have the most centenarians in these places. Costa Rica, Greece, Italy, I'll let you look up the rest. Villages in these places. I found that extremely interesting. But wait, there's one more characteristic that they all had in common. What do you think it is? Faith and what was over here? That's right. Strong social connections with friends and family help you live longer. Now, let's see how that impacts in the day-to-day. Serving in community, knowing your purpose, doing life together is life-giving, right? Life-giving. Doing life with other people actually helps shape us into the people that God is creating us to be. Are you in? Are you in? Now, truthfully, I think we can have salsa and chips and brownies every week or every other week. That works too, right? I think so. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for all those who are listening online. Lord, we want to experience you today in some new way. Father, through the stories that are given through the scripture, would you speak to our hearts? Would you open them, God, to your purpose and your will for us? And God's people said, amen. Well, let me give this disclaimer. There are no perfect groups because we are imperfect people. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect, right? We have people in groups who like to talk all the time. We have some people who don't like to talk at all. We have people who like to play. They could spend the whole time playing games. And that's okay because that's kind of the appetizer for the word, right? And then there's some people who just want to dive into the word. Now, I'm not saying that's perfect or imperfect, but here's one. Some people like to chew gum like it's a facial exercise. Guilty. Okay? All right. So we are learning to love Jesus and do life together. And so my first point is good groups make me get outside of myself. Because you know what? Sometimes, even though I'm an extrovert, I can isolate. I can want to be alone for just maybe a little bit too long. And then what happens? My life becomes like I'm watching it on the IMAX screen at the theater. And everything is magnified out of proportion. My flaws, my imperfections, it's not really my reality because in Jesus, we have him and we have one another. And what happens to our anxiety when we do that? it increases, right? And we lose our peace. Someone said, the less you focus on yourself, the more peace you find. So join a good group and find some peace. Will it be perfect? Absolutely not. But it will be fun. It will be fun. And in that tension of everyone having different ideas, again, God is shaping us to be more knowledgeable about one another, about our world, and what he is doing. Do you want to know what Jesus is doing? Be part of a good group. Now, there was a time a few years ago when I was going through my teaching credential program, and I had so much to do, and you know, we have teachers here in the room. You have papers to write, you have a classroom management program to create and then to implement, you have lesson plans, you're teaching every day, and it can be exhausting. And so as I'm looking at my schedule, I'm thinking, this needs to go. What do you think I chose to go? Meeting in a good group. Don't tell anyone. I thought, okay, I don't have time to meet in a life group. But looking back, I would have had a lot more peace and definitely a lot more support if I would have been in a life group. And you know what? I probably would have found someone else that was in a similar situation. And we could have encouraged one another. So I learned from that experience. Again, in good groups, you will find people with similar challenges. Maybe people who are having difficulty in their relationships. Or they have a family member with an addiction or somebody sick. And we can be there for one another. We can pray one another up. We can do life together and help each other navigate tough circumstances. Okay, so what about my friends who are on Facebook? You have meaningful connections, right? Yes? No? Yes, we can have meaningful connections on Facebook. But let me just put this out there. I'm on Facebook too. I'm in many platforms. So what do you see on Facebook? You see all the happy pictures, right? You see people at Christmas parties. You see birthday parties. You see weddings. Everyone's having a great time. You see the picture of the family at the restaurant. You see the picture of all the four kids on the huge, giant Ferris wheel. And then on the way home in the SUV with eight people and four kids, the kid upchucks three times. Now, that's the picture I didn't post. But you know what? That was part of my perfect Christmas vacation. So in groups, we get to see more of one another's lives. And that's a good thing. Because then we're locked together, knitted together in this fabric that Jesus himself is creating. I see a deeper, thicker theology in the people I do life with. And I'd like to invite my friend Don Hancock up to help explain that. So theology, what I believe in. I don't necessarily need to go to a commentary and find Jesus Christ because I'm seeing it in my friend Don. Don, what do you enjoy most in your life group?
I enjoy being able to see the Word of God from other people's perspective because, you know, sometimes my perspective might be limited or I just might not have the same approach okay. to reading the Word that they do. So I really enjoy learning new perspectives about the Word of God. It gives me, like, eyes coming from different positions.
It's a great way to put it. How have they encouraged you in your faith?
Oh my gosh, my group that I'm in now. I mean, I've been in three groups here in Covenant okay. Grove. And the reason I've had to switch groups was because the time no longer worked for me. So I think time should be a priority when you choose your life group. Just make sure you look at the time closely because when I went to my new life group, I thought we met at 6:30 at night. And somebody called and they're like, oh, hey, we're so happy you're going to be a part of us. But you do realize that this is happening, right? It's at 6:30 in the morning. And I was shocked. And at first I was just going to switch. I wasn't going to stick it through, but I was like, you know what? Let me just give it 2 months. Let me jump in. Let me just be invested. And I have no regrets. And I lost track of the question.
Oh, that's fine. How your life group encourages you. So you kind of adapted to the schedule, and you're glad that you did. And how has your life group walked with you through different changes in life?
This is a great question, because when I started the life group that I'm in now, or when I became a part of it, rather, I was working as a nurse in the hospital and single, and I've started my own business, left the hospital, got married. Now I'm
back in
school.
That's a lot, right?
It's been a lot. They're holding on tight. They're like, whoa, Dawn, what are you doing next? But no, they've been a great encouragement. Having their encouragement and support has been great, because they ask me hard questions too. You know, have you thought about this? What are you going to do about that? You know, they don't only help me look at God's word differently. They help me look at the situations in my life and even the struggles or trials I might be going through in with different eyes. And that's super helpful.
It is helpful. Jesus speaks through our friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sometimes we get it from the word. Sometimes we get it from one another. And that is just as powerful. Thank you so much. Oh, yes. So you have
it's
one
really
more thing.
Akin to, you know, like if I was going to share a song with you, like I have the lyrics to this song that is very moving and I love, and it just impacts me. And I turn to it every time I get discouraged, and I give you the lyrics in writing.
Okay.
It's very much like giving you the music with that and having somebody else to sing with. Like the life group is the music. You get to live the verses. You get to, you know, it's beautiful.
That's a great analogy. Let's give Dawn a hand. Thank you, Dawn. And Dawn is a medical professional. I'll let you keep it. And so she knows how vital it is to have these strong social connections in your life. And I like what she said about she's been in several different life groups. So when you sign up for a life group, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going to be in this life group for an entire 2 years or even a year. You are welcome to change life groups at the end of the season, and that is fine, or to visit a few to choose which one you want to do. Well, C.S. Lewis said he believed that people can only reflect God's image when they live in community. Well, I think about when Brent was in the hospital, this is what happened. I saw people living out their theology of serving, and I was there for like 2 hours. He had his leg broken in two places, blood everywhere, and I stayed there for 2 days straight. Maybe I left once, and my friend immediately brought me my favorite sandwich, and another friend brought me a bag of water and drinks and snacks that lasted the entire 48 hours. I didn't have to leave the hospital to get anything because the friends from my life group were taking care of us. And then we got home. We had people bring us homemade soup. This is what it's about, walking with one another, encouraging one another in the victories and sometimes when you're not doing so well, right? Yes. Well, what is the ultimate example of a life group? Where do we see this in Scripture? What about Jesus and his disciples? They ate together, right? They debated some hot topics. They visited the sick. They encouraged families. They prayed together. They celebrated together. So when the disciples were with Jesus and they were working together, they learned how to serve one another, because you think they really got that before they met Jesus? I don't know. Probably not. So that was an important part of their faith, of their development. Let's go to, if you want to, Acts 2. We're not going to have it up here on the screen. But I also think of another perfect life group is in Acts 2. Now, before I reference this passage, people had tons of choices. You might think, oh no, we just have tons of choices. No, back then in biblical times, there were plenty of clubs they could join. Now you might have to pay a small fee, but there were lots of things you could do. You could do sports club, you could do chess club. There were all kinds of activities and entertainment that you could take part in. But for some reason, people were choosing to be part of the Way, the first name of the church. The Way in Acts 2. So what was happening in Acts 2 that was drawing all these people? Well, They were gathering together. They were devoting themselves to prayer. They were worshiping together. They were taking the Lord's Supper together. They were having, again, meals in the home. So these were home churches, and yet they were still going to the temple to worship. And what happened? What was the result? There was a sense of awe, of reverence. That's the faith part. They were growing in the faith as they came together, and God was doing miracles. Is that a blessing? When was the last time you expected a miracle? When was the last time you expected someone to get healed? Emotionally, physically, mentally? Is that too much to expect from our God? No. But you know what happens? When I walk this line alone, my faith gradually dissipates in the storms of life. I need Christ in you, and you need Christ in me to build that expectation of what God has in store. It's just like when we read Ephesians 2:10. God has things planned for us already, for us to walk in those things. But what does it take? Faith. It takes faith. Faith comes from being together and being in the Word together. Let's read this. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let's wake up and read this together. Nice and loud. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day drawing near is a day when Jesus returns. When he returns to his followers. So good groups. In all these groups we see Jesus is working. God is working. But we need one another, as we see in these passages, to help stir our faith. Faith does not grow on an island. Good groups stir my faith. Now, does faith have to be super serious all the time? No. It can be fun. That's why I referenced games earlier. So when we come together to stir our faith, it's not like, hey, open your Bible. We're going to read these three chapters in 10 minutes and then have a quiz. No, that's not what we do. That is not the purpose of a life group. The purpose of a life group is to have fun together. To walk in the door to somebody's home or to the church, and you have snacks together, and you have an icebreaker, and you feel that tension from the week just kind of drift away because you're with friends who love you. Friends who know your name. You remember that show, right? Cheers. Everybody knows your name. Yes, that's what it's like. And then we dive into the Word, and we see the world through each other's eyes. You know, one time I had four different friends in my life group, and each of them were from different countries. Do you think I learned a lot? Yes, I did. Yes, we learn from one another. Faith stories, how Jesus has worked in our life, what is sacred to us. And it helps me be able to relate to other people better. And it just helps grow me. Because if I'm living in my world, I only see one way. The highway is one way, one direction. But that's not how God created it. So I have to tell you this story of one person in my life group. And I'm going to call her Janine. Changed her name. That's okay. So Janine, she goes back to visit her family probably once a year. And Janine stirs my faith. And as we get together sometimes, and in life groups, she has actually shared this story with us. She went back to her country. She stayed with her sister. And one evening she says, I'm going to go out for the evening, but she didn't say where she was going. And her niece says, oh, Auntie, I want to come with you. And so her niece goes with her. Now, the niece has no idea where they're going. They get on a bus, And then they get off the bus and they do some walking. Then they get on another bus, do some walking to a neighborhood, knock on the door, go in. There's friends there. They're welcomed in. They read the Bible. They praise. They encourage one another. And on the way home, niece turns to Auntie, Aunt Janine, and she says, "Aunt Janine, I accepted Jesus as my Savior." And Janine is so excited. But that's not the end. Her niece, since last year, has led someone else to Christ. And Janine's sister has come to Christ. Now, what's unusual about this story? What's unusual about it? There's no signs of church names in this city or this country because Christianity is forbidden. There are people who are in prison for their faith. Today, right now, family members, because of their faith. That stirs me up, people. Someone might say, "Well, how's that relatable to me?" And I'm like, because it gets me out of myself. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. I have seen my sister walk through that. I see her tears. I see her prayers. I receive them. She is a powerful prayer warrior. I want to do life with her. I want to do life with her. You know, sometimes we need to be stirred and sometimes we need to be spurred. Amen? You can spur the person next to you. Why, you guys are sitting so far apart? All right. Well, some Bible translations use the word spur instead of stir. So when I was 10 years old, I loved to ride horses. And I grew up on a farm, and we had this horse named Mo. Now, this horse named Mo was a little bit stubborn. He wasn't a huge horse. He wasn't a small horse. He was medium sized. And my dad got him out of the corral, and my Uncle Larry was there. And Mo was eating the grass in the yard. And I decided, I'm going to take Mo for a ride. Now, there's a big dirt road that goes around the farm. And I thought, I'd just take him for a little jaunt. So I hop on Mo. There is no saddle. I take the reins, give Mo a little kick. He wasn't moving. Kick him a little harder. He's not going. Spur him again. Such a stubborn horse. I said, "Come on, Mo. You know you want to run." And at that time, my Uncle Larry thought it would be a great idea. He's a football player, college football player. He takes his hand and gives that horse a big swat on the rear end, and that horse took out like lightning. Now, I forgot to say, the barn, I think, was only 300 yards away. From the house to the barn, that horse was galloping. He wasn't going to stop. And then he did come to an abrupt halt, inches from the barn wall. And then he reared up and I held on to his neck because I did not have a saddle. And my dad came over and got him under control. And you know what's in my head? Was that necessary? Was it? Okay, well, sometimes I need that. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Good groups spur me to next steps of faith. You know, we just finished the 5 days of prayer, which ended on the sixth Friday with Refuel Worship Night. So that came about in an interesting way. I met my friend for coffee for my life group. And we talked about life and our families, and we prayed together. And her passion for prayer birthed this idea within me to have 5 prayer days. But I hadn't put it on the calendar yet. And then I meet with another very close friend who has permission to say this to me. And I mentioned it to her, and she said, "Yeah, Serena, why aren't you doing that?" And then I talked about worship night, and she said, "Yes, you must do this. Why aren't you doing this?" And so Ricardo and I got it on the calendar. And we did it. It happened. But I needed that spurring. I needed somebody to believe in me. I needed somebody to say, Serena, you can do this. Serena, you got this. God's got you. He has a plan. You walk in it. Do you need that? Do you need Jesus wrapped in flesh? I do. That's what we have in good groups. We have one another, not only stirring our faith, but maybe coming alongside and doing a little spur every now and then because they see something in you, because they have faith in you. Or maybe they have no idea what's going to happen, but God prompts them to give you a word. You see, I can read scripture. I love reading scripture. But sometimes when I'm down or sometimes when it's just blasé, I need you in the flesh to take me out to coffee, to speak a word to me, to put your hand on my shoulder and say, it's going to be okay. Do you ever need that? Yes. God created us to do community in one with one another. Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, all in community, doing this dance together. There's a theological term for that, but we're not going to go to that slide. But it is a dance. Doing life together, eating together, praying together, encouraging one another, families getting together for events, coming together for refuel. Yes, and it's fun. It's fun. Well, I want to also say that good groups grow a confident faith full of action. Full of action. So I have a person in one of my life groups who has the gift of evangelism. Does anyone else have that gift? Not too many. It's an unusual gift to have when it just comes out of you so naturally. And this is what my friend, how he operates. It's so natural for him. And we were in the park having a picnic with young adults, and he just casually went over to this couple. They were exercising and started talking to them about faith. And we were all standing back here just kind of watching. And it was a good conversation. It was a positive conversation. And the young lady shared why she wasn't interested in religion anymore. She had had a bad experience. But my friend was able to encourage her and invite her and plant a seed. Being invitational. Is that what Jesus asks us to do? How did you come to know Jesus as Lord? A few days ago, this young man was at Crossroads Shopping Center. And he noticed a man off by himself. And he thought this man might be homeless. He didn't know. And he went up and said, how are you doing? And the man said, why are you talking to me? What's that a reflection of? All the hurt he's been carrying with him for days, for weeks. And this young man saw that. And he persisted gently in conversation. And he was able to encourage him. And when the man realized he just wanted to know how he was doing, truly, he opened up and started talking to him. And they had a great conversation. How easy it is to just not notice, right? Everyone needs a friend. Everyone needs a friend. Jesus made us for one another. This is the zone. Don't forget the blue zones. This is the zone I want to live in, where we are relying on Jesus Christ. We're not just saying, oh yeah, I rely on Jesus Christ. I depend upon him for everything. No, I want to be with people who are walking it out. Do you? Yes. Jesus has work for us to do. He has people for us to meet. So how is God stirring your faith? How is he stirring your faith? Now, I could give you a lot of steps right now. Usually I give you 3 steps to do. But what's the truth of it? We go home and we forget them, right? Usually. So I'm going to give you one thing. One thing. Sign up for a life group. Life groups start now. And here is a picture of all of our life groups that you can join. Only one of them is full. We have a marriage class, three strands. Gary and Sarah Benavides are co-leaders. And I've had a lot of requests for family and marriage life groups. And so we have implemented one this season. Sign up for a good group. Find the Spirit of God in the group of people that God has for you to spur you on, to stir your faith, to get you out of your comfort zone, because that's really what it's about, right? And to pray you up when you're going through it, and to celebrate with you when you've won the victory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Holy God, I thank you for each of my friends here in this room and the ones online. God, you have the purpose. You have people for us to serve. You have good food for us to eat. You have an active lifestyle for us, because we weren't meant to just sit by ourselves in isolation, but to get out and to live the abundant life with one another. Thank you, God, that according to Ephesians 2:10, you already have that for us. Jesus, we thank you. We don't walk alone. We walk in the power of your Spirit. And God's people said, Amen.